You're listening to the Sticks in the Six podcast. Here are your co-hosts, Andrew Forbes, Peter Barachini, and Alex Hopton.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to episode 156 of Sticks in the Six, brought to you by the fine folks at the Hockey Podcast Network, as well as Indie Ale House. And boys, end of the season, end of the road for the regular season for our Maple Leafs. So we got one game tonight. Outside of that, we know who we're playing. Not sure how everybody's feeling about that. We'll get to that in just a second. But before we do, Peter, how are you doing this afternoon?
Yeah, doing good. You know, I can't believe it's already here. You know, it just seems like yesterday that we just said that, you know what, nothing matters until playoffs come around, right? And now the playoffs are here. And lo and behold, it's against a team that nobody really wants to go toe-to-toe with. But yeah, I mean, as Michael Scott once said, I'm ready to get hurt again. So that's basically my mindset right now. It's been my mindset for the last few weeks. And yeah, playoff hockey, let's get going.
There you go. Alex, how you doing this week, buddy?
Doing good, man. I'm just playing the waiting game at this point. Like Peter said, you know, you kind of wait all year for this and then it comes up and all of a sudden you're not ready for it. And I'm not going to lie, I really, really got into the mindset and convinced myself they were going to play Florida first round. So I'm just kind of coping with the realization that they're going to be playing Boston instead. And yeah, I don't know. I've just I'm looking forward to it, but at the same time, I don't know how to feel, and there's a lot of emotions going through my mind right now, and simultaneously, there's no emotions going through my head. So, to answer your question, I don't know how I feel. I don't know how my week's been, and I don't know how my next couple weeks are gonna go. So,
there you go. At least there's no jersey burnings in this group, anyways.
Yeah, but no kidding. Yeah.
We're too much of a diehards.
That's right.
To do that, you know, we're actually going to keep that. It's well money spent.
We like to be broken every once in a while. but boys, before we get into all the preview talk with the playoffs and obviously playing the Boston Bruins, I do want to, you know, I threw a couple of TikToks out in the last couple of days here that have received quite a bit of hype in terms of like the conversation that's come with it. One being this, the 69 or 70 goals versus the 100 assists, which is better. I can tell you right now that the debate is actually very, very neutral in terms of like, you know, there's a bunch that are saying the goals are more important. There's some that are saying that the assists are more important. So it's a pretty good 50-50 split. And then of course I put something out today about John Tortorella's decision to pull the goalie with 3 minutes left last night. That cost not only his Flyers a playoff spot, but cost the Red Wings,
everyone,
Pittsburgh Penguins, and basically left the Washington Capitals as the 8th seed in the East. So before we get into our Leaf talk, Peter, your thoughts on the 69 versus 100 debate?
I mean, 69, 70 goals, that's more impressive and more difficult to accomplish because right now we already have possibly two 100 assist players. And how many 70 goal scorers have we had since, you know, the last 30 plus years? Since 92, 93, that was the last time two players hit 70 goals. You can make the argument that that 100 assists is difficult as well, but that the way that plays are being made and how the offense just keeps building up each season, it seemed like the assists were going to be broken more than the NA or the actual goals. So that's where I stand. I feel like the goals are still the most important and most difficult one to achieve because we're already probably going to get more 100 assist players than 70 goal scorers in this post-salary cap modern NHL era.
Alex, what are your thoughts on the debate? Obviously, you know, one-sided when it comes to Leafs fans, but your thoughts on the 69 versus 100?
Yeah, I don't know. I've kind of avoided sharing a strong opinion on either side of this because I think that people get so wrapped up in this debate and they take it so personally because let's be real. This is Leafs fans versus Oilers fans and Lightning fans going at it about this. And it's kind of hard, I find, to have an objective conversation about what's more impressive because in the minds of the fans that are having the conversation, it's Do I think Matthews' season's more impressive or McDavid's or Kucherov's? And I think a lot of the time people forget to acknowledge that both of these feats are incredibly hard to accomplish. And I don't think saying that one is better than the other really takes away from the other party, because let's be real, both of them are super, like, there's a reason that these have only happened in double digit times, or sorry, these have only happened in single digit times over the course of the league's existence, essentially. And I know that's the case for the 100 assists. I think Matthews 70 goals, he became what, the ninth player to reach that?
I believe he's, yeah, the,
he would be the ninth if you
reached the ninth, it. Yeah.
So we're still in, yeah, we're still in single digits there. Anyway, now that I've gotten that out of the way, I do think that 70 goals is more impressive, but just because of this whole secondary assist thing. You can get, like, secondaries, I'm not taking anything away from them. An assist is an assist. Mitch Marner gets a ton of secondary assists. Like, this is not something that I'm trying to use it to, like, undermine what McDavid's doing, because, you know, if getting that many assists was so easy, then other players would be doing it. We wouldn't be having, what, like, the third and fourth or the fourth and fifth players all time to ever do it. So I do think that 70 goals is more impressive, but I think that each of them are impressive in their own right. And it's just, you know, I mean, you look at other sports like basketball and soccer, to be specific, goals and assists are counted as different stats. You don't have, you know, the amount of goals and assists together brings it into a point each, and, you know, they both count for a point. There's a reason in those other sports that, you know, a basket is counted differently than an assist in basketball, or a goal is counted differently than an assist in soccer. So I think everything's impressive. I think we're lucky to witness an era with talented players setting feats like this. But if it comes down to it, I'd have to say that 70 goals is more impressive. We'll have to see what he can do.
I have a quick trivia here. So this is dating back to, I said, you know, post lockout or post salary cap era. Who was the only player to ever reach or get close to that mark before McDavid and even possibly Kucherov?
100 assists.
Who is the one player that had the most total in this salary cap era?
I would have to be Joe Thornton. No,
I was going to say Joe Thornton.
Yeah.
2005, 2006, he had 96. He was four away that season. And that was basically where the offense started to jump off at that point, where, you know, you had Jaromir Jagr, Joe Thornton, Sidney Crosby, and Ovechkin just tearing up as, you know, rookies as well.
Also Leaf great, boys. Joe Thornton.
Yeah.
Leaf great. Yeah.
Leaf great. Let's not forget that. St. Thomas legend.
That's right. So here's what I'll say. When I posted that originally, I was kind of neutral. Like, I'm with you, Alex. I think both feats are incredible to be able to accomplish either of those. One of the comments that kind of took me away from that was that of somebody wrote in and said, well, what's more important in playoffs? And it was obviously a shot at the Leafs and not making it through the first round and what have you. But my comment back to him was, well, you're not winning 0-0 games in the playoffs. So at the end of the day, I mean, the goals are more important. The assists don't happen without the goals. So there is an argument to be made there that 70 goals is impressive. On top of that, what I want to also note is that the argument being made is that McDavid is only the fourth player to have 100 assists in a season, possibly Kucherov becoming the fifth player to do so. Wayne Gretzky did 11 times. So 11 different times it has been accomplished. 70 goals has only been accomplished, if Matthews gets it tonight, 9 times. So when you look at the logic of it, 70 goals is actually more of a rarity than the 100 assists in a season. Mm-hmm. So argue away, whoever's out there and wants to argue that. That's by all means, the secondary assists argument can be made. The no assists without goals can be made. And then, of course, the rarity in terms of how many times it's actually happened is something to look at as well. Quickly, the Tortorella news. The Tortorella pulling of the goalie. And obviously, he didn't know that they were officially eliminated when he did the you know, pulled it. And I kind of posted a video just to kind of, you know, get under the skin of some fans, and I knew it would. And sure enough, it's turned into this semi-viral video on TikTok where people are just going off and, well, you sound like a tight hockey coach, or, you know, what logic do you know? Where are your credentials? Anyways, long story short, yes, absolutely, John Tortorella needed to pull the goalie to try and get it done in regulation so that his team could make the playoffs. I agree with that decision. I think if you had done it at, you know, 2 minutes or 2:30, you still would have had the same amount of time. It's technically a power play. If your team can get the job done on the power play, why couldn't you get it done at 2 minutes? When you pulled them with, what, 3:30, I think it was, left, roughly 3:30, and Washington scores right away, that's your hopes gone. If you're going to do that, I almost would argue that you pull your goaltender with 5 minutes left. That way, if there is an empty netter scored, then you've got an opportunity to score two goals. Do you guys agree or disagree with what John Tortorella did?
It's a big gamble. Like, it really is. And especially, like, considering it was tied 1-1, again, your season's on the line. You got to do whatever you can to try and vault yourself forward because they needed that win. And Washington, basically everyone needed to win, but everyone else needed to lose. And, you know, he had to make that gamble. It's tough. It's difficult. I can understand why fans are frustrated, but it needed to be done. And I'd rather have it in that instance than the Minnesota Wild pulling their goalie twice in overtime, risking getting no points at all. So I'd rather Tortorella be doing that to try and save the season than getting no points at all while you're still in the playoff race early on. And that just totally ended any chance whatsoever. Yeah, that's where I take it. Needed to be done. And I think there were probably a few other coaches that probably would have done the same thing.
Alex, what are your thoughts on the Torts move?
Yeah, I don't really have anything to add that Peter hasn't already said. I just feel so bad for Red Wings fans, man.
Yeah,
that is a heartbreaking way to end the season. And, you know, that the shot of them after they just walked away with the shootout victory and they just look so dejected. It's like they went from tying the game in the dying seconds and being like, oh, my God, mm-hmm. we are literally defying every odd imaginable to try and keep our season alive. And we're doing this like we're going to be this miracle on ice team that makes the playoffs and carves a run out of it. And then it, just like that, Tortorella's gamble ends their season. So I feel bad for Wings fans more than anything else.
Two nights in a row they came back, right? They came back to win the game. And
Montreal as well.
Yeah. Both games were against Montreal, yeah. So, I mean, it's obviously a tough pill to swallow. I mean, Leaf fans did it when Islanders knocked them out in the shootout years ago. And I remember I was at a Jays game shortly after that, and some guy had the nerve to wear an Islanders jersey to the Jays Oof. Game, and I think he got chased down the tunnel. But I will not confirm whether or not I was part of that chase. But anyways, yeah. So the Leafs, we got to get to our Leaf talk, and obviously, guys, it's the Boston Bruins. We all know it. It's not a secret anymore. The Leafs Bruins first round series. We know what's coming our way as Leaf fans. We know it's going to be, it was 4-1. We know the 1967 jokes. We know what's coming, but how are you feeling, Peter, going into a first round series against a now Bruins team that doesn't have Krejci? They don't have, obviously from a couple years past, they don't have Chara. They don't have Bergeron. This is a different Bruins team. However, it's still a Bruins team that went 4-0 against the Leafs this season.
Yeah, like you said, different Bruins team, but still the history remains. And let's not forget the fact that the Bruins choked a 3-1 series lead against the Florida Panthers as well. So they know how we felt when we lost that 4-1 lead in Game 7. But yeah, it's, again, like you said, different team, different year. It's not 2013, not 2017-18, not 2018-19. This is 23-24. And as much as I think that, you know, the past still hurts, it is a different year. That's the one saving grace that I have being optimistic, is that there could be a lot of difference in terms of outcomes this time. You know, we talked about how, or not talked about, but like there was even talk about like how the Maple Leafs were great against the Florida Panthers last year and they lost to them in the second round. They got swept this year, didn't have a good record. Maybe because regular season goes out the window, it's a whole new different ballgame. Maybe Toronto finally finds their groove. Maybe they start clicking on the power play. Maybe they actually find a complete 60-minute effort, and then both offense, defense, and goaltending are on the same page. that's the main optimistic approach that I'm trying to go for. But man, it's still tough to go against this Bruins team, because even without their, with all their subtractions, they were still dynamite. They were still lethal. They had secondary scoring, although maybe, you know, it wasn't as great as previous years. They got contributions from throughout the lineup, and that's going to be a big difference maker.
Alex, both teams down the stretch here have struggled. Obviously, the Leafs, you know, a couple of rough games in the last few here, but the Bruins too have come up with some tough outcomes, let's say, over the last couple of games as well. How does this Maple Leafs team now match up against the now Bruins? I mean, both teams are bigger bodies. They both play a little bit of a different game than the last time they met in the playoffs. What's your take on this matchup going into it?
Well, I don't know. I think that on paper, the Leafs do match up better with Boston now than they did a couple years ago. But I think it is important to know and important to mention that this is still the Boston Bruins, and they still have that fucking goal horn, and they still have the goal song, and they still have one of the toughest buildings in the NHL to play in. So the Leafs, I mean, they should be taking every measure they can to match up against the Bruins, but they should also be going into the series with the mindset of, hey, just because Bergeron's not here, just because Krejci's not here, just because Chara's not here, this is still a lethal team, and this is still going to be a tough series to battle through. So I do like their offense up against Boston's more than I would have in previous years. Defense, Boston, I think, has the edge, and goaltending, it really just comes down to who stands up in that series. And you know, Ilya Samsonov didn't have the greatest stats on paper last year against Tampa, but he did make the saves when it mattered. He didn't give up any back-breaking goals to get teams back in the game. Game six was his best playoff game of any of them during the first round last year. And you know, Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman are great in their own right, but we also saw firsthand last year that Swayman and Ullmark are human in the playoffs, and they did come back down to earth a little bit. So it's really just going to come down to who can capitalize on special teams more and which goaltender and team in general can get hot in those seven games. And that's why, you know, I keep reading these things like I'm worried to face Boston because the Leafs were 0-3-1 against them this year, 0-2-2 or whatever it is. And that I really, truly don't believe that anything matters outside of what happens in these seven games. You know, the Leafs were 7-2-1 against Montreal in the North Division season. And then look how that ended up for them. Right. The Leafs were 3-1-0, I think like 7-1-0 combined in the 2 years heading up to their 2018 matchup against Boston. Look how that panned out. Mm-hmm. So like, it obviously there are trends that you don't want them to carry into the playoffs. I fully understand that, but I think that ultimately, all that matters is that they show up and they get hot at the right time. If they're the hotter team in those seven games, then I think they can get out of the first round. It's going to be tough, no doubt, because it's the Boston Bruins and they'll always give you a fight no matter what, but they can do it. Like they don't have the demon hanging over their shoulders now of not winning a round. They know that they can win a round in the playoffs. They've gotten around to doing that. So I don't know. I think it'll be a little easier in that sense, but it's still going to be a bitch of a series because it's the Boston Bruins. So
I'm going to use the same terminology that everyone uses when they talk about the Leafs' success in the regular season. In playoffs, the regular season means absolutely nothing. And so 0-2-2, 0-1-3, 0-3-1, whatever, it doesn't matter what the record was at the end of the day.
It's a different ball game.
The second the puck drops on this series, it's a new series. It's a brand new series. Everyone starts fresh. Everyone gets an opportunity. You know, there's no favorite. There's no underdog. This is a new series with two teams that, you know each other very, very well. And we can sit here and debate who's going to be in and who's going to be out of the lineup all we want. At the end of the day, you know what this series is going to be all about. It's going to be, we saw it against Florida last night, and you know what the Leafs are going to bring. They're going to bring in intensity. Ryan Reeves is going to be in the lineup. Simon Benoit is going to be in the lineup. Bertuzzi's got something to prove. I think even though he was only with the Bruins for a short stint, he was their playoff performer last year.
That's why they brought him in.
Max Domi is a guy that's going to, you know, put his foot down and obviously a career high this year in penalty minutes. I believe it was 116 or 120. So he finished with a career high in penalty minutes. Came to Austin Matthews' side many times this season. This is going to be a different series than what we're used to. This is going to be a different series than what we've seen in the past. And hopefully this is going to be a different series from Leafs have the potential of going up 4-1 and it quickly vanishing as well. So Allmark, Swayman, they are human. They are also very, very good goaltenders. And the Leafs goaltending has stumbled as of late. That said, Peter, how do these two teams match up?
Yeah, I mean, it really is tough because, you know, like you said, then how you started off, that both the Maple Leafs and Bruins have been, you know, basically clawing or like crawling their way to the finish line. I mean, Boston struggled down the stretch, lost two critical games, not necessarily critical games, but two games against teams that were outside of the picture in Washington and Ottawa. Toronto really had a strong 20 minutes, but then basically faltered for the next 40 and basically basically checked out at that point. You know, it all depends on which Maple Leafs team we're going to see. I think, are we going to see the one where they went on that 7-game winning streak, you know, after the Morgan Riley suspension, and then he comes back and they still have that, you know, vibe, that ability to still take down some of the best teams in Colorado and Vegas? Are they going to be physical? Are they going to be in your face? That's all that's going to matter. Or are we going to see a team that, you know, plays well for a good stretch and then, you know, goes back to the same, you know, basic mistakes, as Sheldon Keefe would say, Pee Wee hockey, that we saw yesterday? It all depends on which team we're going to see. Are we going to see one team that's going to come together as a collective group, or, you know, just going to be the same old mistakes over and over again? It's going to be like, you know, the same talking point when the season's done for like the seventh or eighth straight season. Like you said, I agree that, you know, you start from scratch. You're both 0-0. Zero wins, zero losses, new season, new time. A lot is on the line. And again, Alex pointed out that, you know, they managed to get over their demon in beating Tampa Bay. Why not try and do the same thing and, you know, take down a giant, a behemoth that's been in your way for basically the last, or like for three playoff seasons since 2016-17. You know, they managed to get over that first hurdle. Now fate is presenting them with the second opportunity to try and get another shot at redemption this time around. And if they can beat the Boston Bruins, then I think the sky's the limit. I said that when they had that strong game against Florida in Toronto. If they can play like that in the playoffs, the sky's going to be limit for this team. If they can outscore, outskate, outhit, and I think they do have that physical edge that can match up against Boston. If they could do all of that and be smart with the puck in their own end, I think it's going to be advantage Maple Leafs. But there's been a lot of points in the season that has doubts about that.
Alex, obviously, as I mentioned, this is going to be a different series. The physicality of it alone is going to be something that maybe we're not used to as much in the playoffs, especially as of late. How do you see these two teams matching up? And is this the best matchup for the Maple Leafs heading into the first round?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say it's the best matchup, because I really don't think that there was a clear better team to face between Boston and Florida. I mean, we saw in the second period of last night's game how hard Florida comes out in forechecks, and how sometimes when they come out and bring it, it can be a real problem for the Leafs. So I wouldn't really say that they're better matched up against either team, but I think in general, they're better suited to play one of these teams in the playoffs this year than they have been in the past, because you saw, you know, they went out and they got the guys like Bertuzzi and Domi. They got Reeves. The team, I think the top three teams that lead the NHL in hits this year are literally Florida, Toronto, Boston. So these are physical teams. The Leafs, and I've been critical of this in the past. I've been super critical about how they never stand up for each other. And, you know, it feels like they sort of get submissive when teams put the pressure on and they push them around a little bit. I have been supremely critical of that in the past. This, I will say in full honesty, this is the first season since I've been watching the Leafs where I can legitimately say that they do stand up for each other, and they are physical, and they don't get pushed around. Because that's one thing they did last night. They didn't let Florida push them around. And just having that ability on its own will be enough, I think, to give them a boost in the matchup. I think, just like I said before, it all comes down to special teams and goaltending and whoever can get hotter in that department. So hopefully the Leafs power play figures it out a little bit. I know they've started to kind of see their power play come around a little bit. It hasn't quite been there yet, but it's further along now than it was before. So I think that they match up better now than they would have a couple years ago, but it's going to be interesting to see. Hey, Oakley.
Yeah, boys, it's definitely going to be an interesting one to watch. Obviously, full seven game series, I think it's one that will go seven. We'll obviously get predictions in, probably not in today's show, but a little bit later. But there is an opportunity for all of us to go bet on which team we think is going to win the series. And of course, we'll be doing it with DraftKings Sportsbook, our fine sponsors over at the Hockey Podcast Network. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. In fact, I know I said there's no favorites, but right now the Leafs are paying +105 to win the series, so they are considered the underdogs against the torrid Boston Bruins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. Well, boys, you heard it. The Leafs are obviously underdogs according to the betting websites. One of the biggest things that they've struggled with over the last few years has been their core getting it done in the playoffs. Obviously, last year was a little bit different in the first round. Matthew stepped up. Marner stepped up. Nylander was carrying the offense as he has the past two postseasons. The big question this season against the Bruins once again will be, can the core get it done? Now you're talking about possibly three lines if they stick with what they've had at the end of the season. Alex, I'm going to throw it to you first. What do you think about the core getting it done?
Well, I cited before the fact that these guys do not have the whole demon hanging over their heads of these guys haven't won around yet. They don't have what it takes. So I think that alone is going to help them out a little bit.
Yeah,
I got it. It's all good, buddy. But yeah, I do think the fact that they have done this now and they know that they can win around, they know what they're capable of doing. So I think that alone is going to help them, but it's just, and I also, on top of that, I do think that they are going to probably make life a little bit easier for themselves by spreading out the offense if Sheldon Keefe sticks to that. Because again, every other year in the past, the game plan has kind of been, you know, Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner are playing on the same line. Shut those guys down, and that is our entire plan on defense. And it's worked, because if you shut down Matthews and Marner and you smother those guys, is what I was trying to say. If you smother those guys and don't give them any sort of space to create the plays that they do, yeah, you've got Tavares and Nylander, but it's a lot easier to put the rest of your defense on that tandem and shut them down than it is to than it is to have to deal with them on three separate lines. So I think if they keep the lines spread out, it'll be a little easier on them. And I think that combined with the fact that they know they can do it now and they don't have to, answer the question of, are we capable of winning a round, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that all those factors combined, they'll have an easier time in the playoffs this year, but I'm going to need to see them perform in games 5, 6, and 7, if it gets that far, to really be able to say if I'm confident in that happening.
I was just about to say, it's like the split up was the main thing, because I was looking back at the last 14 playoff games that the Maple Leafs had played against Boston. And this is their, I'm going to include all the core five, Marner, Riley, Matthews, Nylander, Tavares. And in that order, Marner has the most points against Boston in the playoffs, 13 points, 14 games played. Morgan Riley is after that, 10 points in 14. Matthews, 8. Nylander, 7. Tavares, 5. So based on that, it seems like Mitch Marner likes to play against Boston in the playoffs. That is good, considering how there's been a lot of criticism about his play, whether he needs to step it up. Obviously, we see Matthews start to be a little bit more consistent with his goal scoring in key moments, as we saw in like Tampa Bay last season. But I do think that with the forward units, if it's going to be like this, where it's Bertuzzi, Matthews, Domi, then you got a very, you're being unpredictable at that point. And that was the problem with the Maple Leafs. You knew it was going to be Matthews, Marner. That was too predictable, because then you could shut Marner down, because if you throw the body at him, he backs away, he's not as intense, he can lose control of the puck, and then it turns over, and then the puck plays going the other way. Now that you have guys that could throw their own weight in Burton and Domi and could get it at an inside edge, and you're playing with high-energy players that could still feed Matthews the puck very well, and Matthews giving the puck to Domi and Burt, vice versa, there is a lot of potential that this top six could be a little bit deeper and a little bit more spread out, kind of like what Boston's doing right now. I don't even think Pastrnak and Marchand are even on the same line. I think they're going to be split up. But then again, if you need to stack up, they're definitely going to stack up. So yeah, it's Heinen, Zacha, Pastrnak, Marchand, Coil, DeBrusk. They're spreading out their top guys. Again, they may not have as much firepower as the Maple Leafs. But if they Maple Leafs can have one of those four guys on three separate lines, Matthews on one carrying his own line, Marner on the wing with Tavares, and Nylander on the second, on the third, with Nyes and or Holmberg and Yarncroke when he comes back, you have good solid depth there. You got good energy guys. You guys got players that can play with speed throughout that whole entire lineup. That's going to be big if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, boys. I agree with everything that I heard. Obviously, full transparency. The little one woke up, so I had to go get her. But it's the Leafs. What they've done the last couple of weeks here, where they've really spread out the scoring. Obviously, that first line with Matthews, Domi, and Bertuzzi has done everything they need to do to kind of stick together. We talked a couple of weeks back about the kid line. Is that something that could possibly play out, depending on the health of Cali Yarncroke, whether he comes back in or not. Cody here, look for Nicky Bobby to have a huge series against the Bruins. Mm-hmm. I mean, that absolutely, if he's in the lineup, and I don't know if he's done enough over the last couple of weeks here to really earn his spot in the postseason lineup. That said, the speed and the shot that he has, I don't see why you wouldn't give him an opportunity either. He's really gelled well with that line. So I'd like to see him get an opportunity. That said, you know, you're going to have those grinders in the lineup, like the Ryan Reeves, like the, even Noah Gregor. Those guys are going to add a little bit different intensity on that fourth line as well. And that's what you're going to need against this Boston Bruins team. It's a great Boston Bruins team. It hasn't gotten any worse with Bergeron out of the lineup. It hasn't gotten any worse without Krejci in the lineup. Marchand, he's going to be up to his antics. The Leafs are going to have to find a way to make sure that they can kind of stay, somewhat reserved when it comes to dealing with his BS that he's going to put out there on the ice. They'll have to figure it out from there. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a crazy, crazy series for the Leafs. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the core can do. I think it's going to come down to Matthews and Marner and see what they're able to do against them as well. In terms of defense, what are we looking at for defense here, boys? Because it's you know, there's a lot to play with here on the Leafs blue line, and you know, obviously Benoit is a guy that you want to see. Giordano might be the odd man out in this instance. Peter, what are your thoughts on the Leafs back end?
Yeah, I think you got to go with the ones that give you the best chance to win. And that's going to be Riley and Bush as your top pair. They're going to have McCabe and Benoit as your second. I think they really have the ability to shut that. You're looking at them as your shutdown tandem to play big minutes, shut down the big boys, and, you know, get into the lanes and even quickly get the puck out as best as possible. And then you have Edmondson, Brody, and Geo on that left side, fighting for that third spot on the left side, and then Liljegren on the right. I think it's ultimately going to come down to Edmondson, because we've seen how Geo maybe can't keep up as much. I think age is catching up to him. But in that game against Detroit, TJ Brody in overtime just shooting the puck towards the boards, not even just sending it down the ice. Patrick Kane takes advantage. I think that ultimately puts him out of the lineup, because when you're in a dire situation like that, as a defenseman, and we know how many games TJ Brody has played, he's a veteran defenseman. There's absolutely no way, if this was 5-on-5 overtime or like 5-on-4 overtime in the playoffs, and he does that, and that puck's in the back of the net, that's a big, huge momentum changer. And it's ultimately going to be on him as kind of like, you know, the one at fault there, which rightfully so. So I don't think, as good as he's played as of late, I don't see how you could put either Brody or Geo in. I think Edmondson gives you that edge to deal and clear out that traffic in front of the net. Hopefully they're able to box out a little bit better than they did against Florida, because they were not that great. But with his size and his ability to clear traffic, I think that's going to be huge. I think that's going to be a difference maker. And Liljegren starting to step up a little bit with his mobility. I think that the big key is not turning the puck over, not being careless within your own end. You got to be smart with your quick tape-to-tape movements. You got to be quick on the breakouts, because Boston is quick in transition, and they will smother you nonstop any chance they could get. So they got to be aware of them. They got to be smart.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Alex, kind of similar question. You know, Brody's a guy that I didn't even think about after he came back into the lineup. He seemed to step it up a little bit, but he has had some miscues down the stretch. Edmondson will be coming back. He said it, you know, if this was the playoffs, he'd be playing with the injury he had suffered. Your thoughts on, you know, are we seeing Liljegren? Are we seeing Giro? Are we seeing Brody? Who's in, who's out?
It's a tough question. I unfortunately think that Peter's right. It's going to be Mark Giordano for sure that sits. I don't see him. I mean, unless there's some really bad injury luck on the back end, I don't think there's going to be a point where two of Brody, Edmondson, Liljegren, Benoit, or Lyubushkin sit in favor of getting Giordano back in the lineup. But yeah, it's I think I'm kind of on the same page in that I think it's going to be Brody sitting. I don't know if I'd say I think it's going to be him, because I just don't know if I see Sheldon Keefe sitting him, because he's kind of like Sheldon's Justin Hall this year. Like he's a safe space. He's his crutch. Like, he uses him on the penalty kill. He's been able to depend on him so much in the past. I just don't know if he's able to do that again this year. And I don't know if he's able to look past that. He hasn't been able to be that guy this year. But the way I see it, you didn't give up assets to trade, you know, you didn't give up extra assets to get Joel Edmondson retained at a minimum to not play him, you know, knowing his playoff experience and his size and his physicality. You don't trade for a guy like that just to not play him. Simone Benoit, I mean, he's consistently played alongside Jake McCabe for the past couple weeks, which I would think has him in a position where he's going to be in the lineup. I can't imagine that Sheldon is going to just backpedal on that and take him out of the lineup after playing him with a guy that's going to log probably more minutes than anybody in Jake McCabe in these playoffs. But then I also don't see a world where Timothy Liljegren comes out, because that leaves Morgan Riley as your real only puck mover. And Liljegren, for the mistakes that he makes, he's a guy when he plays more often, he thrives, and you can see it in his game. He gets better. So I just, in my mind, I don't see anyone else coming out but Brody, but I don't know if that's something that Sheldon sees the same way. So it's going to be interesting to see what he ends up coming to. I think it's going to be a lot like last year where they'll probably start with someone, I don't know who, whether it's Liljegren or whether it's Edmondson or Brody or what. They're going to start with someone sitting. And then if things don't go right and if they lose, I think they're not going to hesitate to make a change on the back end.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think Jake McCabe is going to be a game breaker for the Leafs this playoffs. And I think that comes with playing with a guy like Simone Benoit as well. I think he's actually made McCabe's game a little bit tighter. He's made it a little bit better because he knows he can rely on Benoit to be back and make those plays. And not to mention, Benoit's actually shown a little bit of versatility in terms of his skating and puck movement as well. So I think I don't see how you take him out of the lineup. And I think because of him, McCabe becomes a game breaker, especially in this first round series. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Sheldon Keefe does. I think we all know Sheldon's got his favorites in the lineup and Brody might actually be that guy. Whether he has a conversation with him prior to the series or not, will remains to be seen, but obviously guys, we got to get to one last point here before we close it out. Goaltending. As I mentioned, it's been an issue the last couple games. Samsonov was the guy. Wall didn't look any better. And now you've got Matt Murray, who's got the playoff experience and has come back and started with the Marlies. Where do we go from here? Peter, let's throw it to you first, buddy.
Man, how great would that Matt Murray returning arc be where he carries a team into the playoffs if Samsonov and Wall don't get it done? Because you have very minimal, if either Samsonov or Wall like plays bad in game one, then you go to get Joseph Wall in game two. Where do you go from there? If both of them have a bad start, you're down 2-0 to start the series. You have no choice but to try and maybe go back to Wall. Maybe he could try. I mean, Samsonov, maybe he could try and get going again. But if you're carrying three goalies and you're confident that maybe Matt Murray is back to fully being healthy, I mean, it is probably not the best thing to throw in him into game action in the playoffs, but you're left with no choice. It's kind of basically Joseph Wall last season again. You know, he's had some regular season starts, but now you're getting thrown into a tough situation in the postseason if one of them has an injury or one of them has a bad game. You need to make that choice very quick, because if you go back to either one of them, then you're down a third game and you're down 3-0 in a massive hole. So in that instance where maybe you need to rely on somebody, Matt Murray's definitely that guy. Like you said, Forbesy, he's got that experience. And if he's able to come back and carry this team to, you know, a deep run, and maybe he has a little bit more of that, you know, his game back, his confidence, his movement and mobility, if it's on point, why not go with him? I think that's going to be the big question, is if he's healthy enough and the other two aren't great, does he get a start? And you have to consider that at that point. You got nothing to lose, but you want to try and get an answer quick. It's kind of like, you know, Swayman and Ullmark last year. You know, one of them wasn't doing great. Swayman came in. Then you have Alex Lyon, and then Bobrovsky came in, and he won the series and put the team on his back. Can Matt Murray do the same? Can one of these goalies do the same? That's going to be the big question, because now you got three capable netminders to make a deep run. But it's just a matter of who's going to be that guy.
Well, Alex, we saw Vegas do it as a collective. Obviously, Aiden Hill getting the final punch out when it came to getting that cup. Could the Leafs be doing the same thing here and kind of win by committee based on, you know, opportunity and numbers, depending on who they play beyond the first round, if they get there?
Sorry. You're going to have to repeat that, Forbes. I don't know what happened. I think that was on my end, but you crackled out about halfway through that.
No problem.
Question again?
Yeah, basically just asking if it's going to be the Leafs winning by a collective. You know, maybe they take on Florida in the second round and Matt Murray's numbers end up being better than their other goaltenders. What are your thoughts on the Leafs kind of playing as that collective to get it done the same way Vegas did to get their cup?
I mean, yeah, I think as long as they have all those options, they might as well use them, right? And if Ilya Samsonov shows that he's not able to handle it, and you know, Joseph Wall has a couple of bad games. I don't know why they wouldn't try something. Why they wouldn't try Matt Murray? Why they wouldn't try Martin Jones? I think that they're just going to go with whoever they feel gives them the best chance to win. And if Samsonov and Wall don't inspire confidence that they have what it takes to get it done, I don't know why they'd count anything out. I mean, I know Murray hasn't played in a year, but this guy has more Stanley Cup and playoff experience than any other goalies. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. But I think that in the end, I think ideally they hope that they're not going to get to a situation where they have to be a collective. It'd be nice to have one of their goalies right now just kind of get hot and run with it. But if you have the options, why not use them, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And guys, I know normally we do series predictions. Obviously, that's something we will do prior to the first round. I'm thinking of doing it a little differently this year, maybe doing a little graphic post with us on our Twitter, on Sticks in the Six. So we will get to that. Do you guys want to do a little prediction before we close it out here? If you guys, we obviously know our first round series.
I don't want to give a prediction, man.
Why don't we sit on it for a little bit? We'll sit on it.
I hate it when people ask me for predictions on Leafs playoff series. I never have an answer.
I have a prediction, but every single time I pick Toronto, they've always lost. There was only one time, and that was Tampa Bay. I don't know if I should do the same this year. Maybe go a different route. I don't know, but I'm confident that I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm going to give my prediction right now. Boston in six.
All right.
Sorry. I hate to do that, but watch them actually win the series and I look like I'm an idiot.
All right. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to sit on this one for another couple of days. I'm still getting the feels under me that the Leafs are playing Boston again for it seems like the 100th time. But yeah. Anyways, boys, we're going to close it out here since I got a little busy girl here. She's ready to go. She's geared up to get the day going. So anything you guys wanted to add before we close it out?
Playoffs, baby. That's it.
If you want,
I really don't know what else to say at this point.
Just win, baby. That's all I have to add.
I like it. All right, guys. Well, the Leafs close out the regular season tonight. And with it, another series against I don't even know what to call them. The Boston Bruins. It's going to be a good one. We're geared up to get it going. And, as always, thanks for tuning in this afternoon, for episode 156 of the podcast. You can follow us on any of our socials down at the bottom. Make sure you hit subscribe on YouTube. We got a lot of, I've been doing some shorts again on there with the TikToks coming out. Just getting underneath the skin of most hockey fans, and I love to do that. So be sure to check those out. Make sure you follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. You know, you name it, we're on it. Otherwise, boys, we'll be back next week for episode 157 and, of course, the start of the Leafs playoff series against the Bruins. So with that, for all of these guys here, Peter, Alex, for the little ones that are sitting next to me, and for myself, Andrew, that's it for episode 156. Of the podcast. And what do I say every time now, boys? Go Leafs, go.
Attaboy.